Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming. So I'm going to be looking at how a management practice that can be used in rice can decrease or influence methylmercury accumulation in rice plants, as well as other parts of the ecosystem. Methylmercury is the most toxic form of mercury, and it's highly bioaccumulative. You've probably heard of it in the context of mercury accumulation in fish. So fish that are higher trophic levels tend to have higher concentrations of methylmercury, and so there are recommendations for how much of these fish you should consume. But since methylmercury is produced by sulfate-reducing bacteria and iron-reducing bacteria, that they like to live in flooded soils. And in rice fields, since they're grown under flooded conditions, provide great habitat for methylmercury production. And this methylmercury and mercury can accumulate in rice grains. And in certain places, such as inland China, where fish consumption is low and rice consumption is high, and there are mercury contamination issues due to mining, rice can be the primary source of methylmercury in people's diets, and it is a human health concern. Methylmercury produced in rice fields can also be exported from the field in drainage water or be in the surface water in the field, and it can affect wildlife both in the field and downstream. So the management practice I'm looking at is alternate wetting and drying, and Sanjay talked a little bit about it. But in general, it's introducing drying periods during the growing season. You will turn off the irrigation water and allow the water to subside until the soil reaches some predetermined level of dryness. And the level of dryness that the soil is allowed to go to before reflooding and the number of drying events can vary widely between studies and farmers. From one drying event per season up to 10 or more. The benefits of this practice can include reduced water use, reduced methane emissions, and that's presented by Nimlesh Belain in another talk this morning, reduced arsenic, as Sanjay was talking about earlier, and also it can influence methylmercury. There are a couple risks to this practice. First of all, rice is highly susceptible to drought, so if you dry the field too far, you can reduce yield. Also, since flooding of rice fields is used to control weeds, you can end up with increased weed pressure, which also influences yield. And cycling the field between wet and dry can increase nitrification followed by denitrification, resulting in N2O emissions. But with proper management, these risks are avoidable. So how would we expect alternate wetting and drying to affect methylmercury? It isn't quite straightforward. The microbes that produce methylmercury need a variety of things, including anoxic conditions, available mercury to methylate, electron acceptors, primarily sulfate and iron, and electron donors such as labile organic carbon. And if you consider a continuation of ecosystems between ones that are flooded for years without being drained and ones that are kept dry and aerobic all year, anoxic conditions are highest in the flooded ecosystems, whereas electron acceptors are going to be more available in the aerobic systems. And so these two factors that the microbes need are negatively correlated along this continuation. So if you look at ecosystems that are aerobic, there's very little methylmercury production because the microbes that produce the methylmercury can't grow because there's too much oxygen. In a permanently flooded system, there's some production of methylmercury, but eventually the methylating microbes begin to use up the sulfate and the iron, and these species become limiting to their growth and production of methylmercury. In a seasonal wetland or a rice field, however, you have the soil is dried once or twice a year, and this regenerates the electron acceptors. It converts the reduced forms of these species to their oxidized forms. And since the field is flooded for most of the year, there's plenty of time for mercury methylating microbes to be active. So, alternate wetting and drying is expected to be, since you're drying the rice field more than you typically would in a conventional continuously flooded system, it's going to be somewhere in here. And that will, compared to a conventional continuously flooded system, is going to have a lower availability of anoxic conditions, but higher availability of electron acceptors. So we have two alternative hypotheses. The first is that the methylating microbes are limited by the availability of electron acceptors. So if you increase the level of electron acceptors, we would expect an increase in methylmercury production. But on the other hand, they could be limited by the availability of anoxic conditions. So if you decrease the availability of anoxic conditions, you would expect to decrease methylmercury production. So we conducted a field experiment. This study looked specifically at two treatments, and we did alternate wetting and drying with two drying events during the growing season, and we reflooded the soil after it reached 35% volumetric water content, which corresponded to about 7 to 8 days of drying. And we compared that to a continuously flooded system with zero dry downs. This study was conducted in California, and in the winter in California, the straw is tilled into the soil and the fields are flooded to decompose the straw as an alternative to burning straw. So we looked at this throughout a growing season and the following fallow season. The study was a randomized complete block design. We had three replicates and the plots were 0.2 hectares. And these treatments were applied to the plots beginning in 2012 and continued through 2015, but we started collecting samples for mercury analysis at harvest 2014, and then we sampled intensively throughout the growing season of 2015 and the following fallow season. And we measured methylmercury and total mercury, or THG, in soil, water, and plant samples. So, to begin with the results, we found that alternate wetting and drying significantly decreased both methylmercury concentrations and total mercury concentrations in rice grain. And this rice grain is paddy rice, so it includes the husk. Since the husk is a relatively small amount of mass, and most of the methylmercury is contained in the white rice part of the grain, the values of white rice would be fairly similar. And I'd like to point out that these concentrations are quite low compared to concentrations in the literature and concentrations that would be considered a concern for health. The results from a comprehensive review are shown up there. And in both cases, the methylmercury and the total mercury are at the very bottom of that range. We saw the same pattern in surface water. Methylmercury concentrations were significantly lower in AWD plots than continuously flooded plots. However, total mercury did not differ significantly between the treatments. And for both methylmercury and total mercury, there are higher concentrations in surface water during the fallow season compared to the growing season. And that's consistent with other studies of methylmercury and mercury in rice fields in California. Similar results in the soil. Throughout the season, continuously flooded soil had higher methylmercury concentrations than AWD. And we have one soil sample from the previous growing season. And that shows a similar result. So the difference is continuing between multiple years. And the shading, light gray indicates times when both treatments are flooded, whereas the darker gray indicates times when the continuously flooded plots are flooded, but the AWD plots are drained. So that's a difference in management between the two. And the difference between the treatments tended to increase during times when the treatments were experiencing different management. But when the treatments were experiencing similar management, the difference decreased. Throughout the year, we didn't find any significant differences in total mercury in the soil. To conclude, AWD decreased methylmercury concentrations throughout soil, water, and plants in the rice ecosystem. And to get back to our hypotheses, this supported H2, that the mercury methylating microbes in rice ecosystems are primarily limited by the availability of anoxic conditions. They have plenty of electron acceptors. And so the next steps in this study is I have soil samples that I'm going to be analyzing for electron acceptors, particularly iron, iron speciation. I'd like to thank a number of people who helped a great deal on this project. Cesar Abranella is our lab manager and has been very helpful. And we received funding from these sources. Thank you, and I can take any questions. Yes.
My question is to both you and Sanjay about this drying and wetting system. The study you did mostly in the soil arsenic and mercury level in the background. It's a very in the background level, it's not high level of this arsenic and mercury. Do you think that this kind of approach, when you have soil which is highly contaminated, like arsenic and some of the mercury in different parts of the world, do you think that will be effective? Or have you done any simulation in the greenhouse kind of things with a high concentration?
So there have been a few other studies that looked at growing rice aerobically in much more contaminated sites, and that also found a reduction. So I would suspect that that would work. And some of our other work has shown that that mercury cycling in a site with low contamination, all of the patterns we're seeing in sites with higher levels of contamination, we're also seeing in lower in sites with low mercury. So I think that it's very promising, but yes, I agree. We did it in a very low site, so it needs to be tested in sites with higher contamination. Yes?
Has there been any decrease in the contamination of arsenic or mercury or lead in the soil because dye would keep very you analyze all those things?
Can you repeat the question? Did we change the concentration in the soil? Our measurements of total mercury in the soil didn't change throughout the season, and we found every single sample there was no significant difference in between the treatments in total mercury. Any more questions? All right. Thank you.